It's time to get our cross defense on. This is the show where we equip the mind, we excite the imagination, and we comfort the soul, all with God's word, with the law and the gospel, bringing up various topics that are going on in the culture from a Christian worldview, but also curious topics that will excite the imagination, get you thinking, getting you wanting to jump into the Bible, however you would say that in English. Hey, I don't know. You can probably speak better than I can. But that's what we do here on this show. We want to encourage you to be in God's word, to be receiving it on Sunday morning, especially gather together with the saints, encouraging one another, finding ways to stir up one another, being there in the fellowship of the faithful, receiving the sacraments from Christ through his under shepherd, who he has called and sent to you to speak his word, to announce absolution as you confess your sins, to baptize you in the water where the word has been connected in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to distribute to you into your mouth the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who loves us and cares for us. I hope you're doing all of that. I hope you're receiving all of that. It is what keeps us going. Don't let any of the media stuff out there, don't let your Cross Defense or even KFUO or any of your favorite super apostles out there in YouTube land, on the internet, that are influencing you with their teaching. Remember, there is a reason why we hold the doctrines we hold to. We are trying to be faithful to the apostolic tradition handed down to us, and not every biblical teacher is the same. And it's a wild, wild west out there online. So be careful with that, my friends, as you're even receiving this information. Anytime you're taking theology in via a podcast, via a YouTube video, be like a Berean. Be checking it against God's word. What does God's word say? Use your pastor to help you with that if need be. I'm sure he would love the opportunity to engage with you on theology and the Bible and what it means for your life and the teachings that you're receiving. So today we're going to talk about echo, the English word echo. Isn't that a curious topic? Echo. That's the whole meat of today's show. Recently in a Bible study here at St. Mark's, we're going through the book of Acts in our midweek Bible study, and we most recently were looking at the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 1 through 4. And for today's show, we also want to extend that to 5 and 6. We're not going to get into the whole Pentecost situation. I just want to focus our attention, your attention, on the word echo. 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 Oh man, I'm going to try not to get away with that too much more. I can get carried away for sure. But here's the text that we're going to be looking at today. I hope you open up your Bibles and let's take a slow walk through Acts 2 with a focus on this first word, sound. That's the word that the way it's translated in the English Standard Version anyway, sound, which comes from the Greek, echos. I believe that's how they would say it. And let's take a look at it. So Acts 2, 1 through 6. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The apostolic company was all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound. There's our word. For today, we're just going to call it echo, using the English pronunciation, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. That's the end of 2:6. We're going to leave it right there for today's curious study of the word sound, echo, 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 echo. Okay, that might be the last time I do that on the show today. So what's going on here? First of all, it'd be good to explain, if you don't know exactly the context of this passage, what's happening. The apostles are waiting for the promise that Jesus gave them in Acts 1:4, we hear it. And while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So they're waiting for this promise to be fulfilled for them. And they've returned from watching the Lord ascend into heaven, and they're in Jerusalem. Luke is going to give this to us in two different places. He gives it to us in the beginning of Acts 1, and he also gives it to us at the end of Luke. And from these two passages, we see that they're there in the upper room, they're praying, they're also going to temple, they're involved in their religious life, they're going to church, dear listener, they're going to church and hearing the word and engaging with God's word in the structure that he has given them, has given us, and they're awaiting the promise. Awaiting the promise from the Father as Jesus promised. And this is it. The Holy Spirit comes down to them, and he comes down to them from heaven with this sound, this echo, like a mighty rushing wind, or in the Greek, the literal way, with this echo as if being carried by a violent wind. And it fills the whole house where they were sitting. Now, this is important to know as well. They're sitting, listening, not just sitting around watching Netflix or something. No, they're sitting in a posture of learning because they have been keeping the Feast of Weeks, which is what Pentecost is all about for the Old Testament Jew. They're keeping the Feast of Weeks, and they're hearing a proclamation, Leviticus 23:21. You can take a look at that. They're sitting, and they're hearing this proclamation, this reading from Scripture about what the Lord has done for them. So again, they're engaging in being devout believers, devout Christians, we would say. And as they're doing that, the Spirit comes. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Or literally, again, in the Greek, sat on each one of them. So they're sitting, and now here comes the Spirit, and he sits on them. Tell me that isn't great. Let's just render it the way it says it, right? He comes and he sits on them, on each one individually too. And they were all filled. So they're all together in 2:1. They were all together in one place for their Feast of Weeks observance. And now they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's break it down this way. Acts 2:2, Acts 2:3, and Acts 2:4 are parallel verses, parallel sentences that ramp up, showing us just what's going on here in this beautiful, poetic even, rendering of the situation. So let's look at the parallel words here. We have in 2:2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound," that's our echo word, "like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting." How does that word "sound" correspond to what we see in 2:3 and 2:4? Well, in 2:3, the only word there in the sentence that's going to have anything to do with sound is what? Tongues. "And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on them," sat on each one of them, right? So sound, tongues, and now 2:4, what's the corresponding language? "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay, so sound, tongue, speak, utterance. This is important to note because in Luke 4:37, remember, Luke wrote Acts and Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. In Luke 4:37, we see this same word echo, but being used in a different way. It's not being used just for mere sound as in a simple way. That's going to be a different word, but he's going to use it in a very specific way. And I'm going to read you the whole context of how he uses it here, because it is important. We don't want to just pull text out randomly. Let me give you the context. So we're going to start at Luke 4:31 and see this scene that's going on in the scriptures. And then we're going to show you how Luke uses this same word and how it relates to the book of Acts. So buckle up here, buckaroo. It's going to get fun. Luke 4:31, "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And 437, and reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. So what is our echo word here? How does Luke render it in this text? Report. This word can mean sound. This word can also mean report, information, news. In Bible study, one of our members pointed out that this is something that military people will be familiar with, especially those who are trained in sniper tactics, because the report of the barrel, right, the sound coming from the barrel, the report of it, can give the sniper away or can indicate the shot's been fired. So we're familiar with this correspondence in at least some parts of our society today. Hunters might be aware of that language too, the report of the barrel, the report of the fire, the shot. But here, it's definitely not sniper language. Here, it's report about Jesus went out into every place in the surrounding region. So news about Jesus, the spoken report about Jesus. See the correlation? You tracking with me there? So back into Acts 2:2, and suddenly there came from heaven a report like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And how is this echo, this report, this sound going to be manifested throughout this entire room? Divided tongues as a fire appeared on them and sat on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What is the theme verse of the book of Acts? Are you familiar with that? For the entire book, what's the whole book about? What is Luke reporting, pun intended, what's he reporting about these apostles? What are they doing? Well, the theme verse is Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power," this is Jesus speaking to the apostles, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That's what we're looking at, right? Acts 2. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That's what the entire book of Acts is about, right? It is Luke 4:37. Jesus healed a man of an unclean spirit. He cast that spirit out by speaking powerful words. And he silenced the enemy, the evil one. He silenced their sounds, their powerful words, their language, their speaking. And then he speaks. Well, we get in Acts 2, in Acts 1 even, all of Acts, we get the echo, theologically, of Luke 4:37. See? Luke 4:37 and Acts 1:8 are parallel verses that way. The report went throughout all the region of Jesus healing this unclean man, this unclean demon, healing the man of it. And now, what's he charging the apostles to do? To speak, to be witnesses throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth, to all the regions of the earth. Yeah? Tracking? You got it? All right. Okay, so back to Acts 2. We see the correspondence. The sound is coming from heaven. Now, I love rendering this word sound as echo for my own intellectual capacity, for my own remembrance, so I can keep this in my mind. So in my Bible, I look at this word and I see the word echo written above it, because where is the echo coming from? Where is this sound coming from? Heaven. Heaven. Let's read it that way. And suddenly there came from heaven an echo, as if carried by a violent wind, like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. What did the apostles just come back from seeing, witnessing? Acts 1, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, right? And when Jesus had told them to be witnesses throughout all the regions of the world, when he had said these things, Acts 1:9, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And in Acts 2, we have an echo coming out of heaven, a sound coming out of heaven. And what is that sound going to echo theologically? What is the echo? Well, I would take this to the cross. This sound is going to be the echo from heaven of the gospel. It is finished. Jesus has secured for you forgiveness. Jesus has secured for you salvation from your enemy, Satan, and the demons, the unclean demons, like Luke 4. Jesus has given you eternal life. He has worked that out for you by keeping the law on your behalf. Yeah? And this echo is coming from heaven, echoing that for you. And this is what they're going to end up speaking. The apostles will be martyred for this. They're going to be speaking. And immediately in the text in Acts 2, they're going to be speaking in different languages. The people, all these devout Jews that are in Jerusalem from all the different parts of the diaspora, they're going to be hearing the apostles speak in their own tongue. They're going to be hearing a report, news, information, sound coming to them in their own language so that they can believe in Jesus. This echo coming from heaven is going to fall on every one of these devout men from every nation under heaven, 2:5 says. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Where's the sound come from? It comes from heaven. This echo comes down to them, and it's going to echo throughout the apostles' words, what they're speaking, what they're uttering as the Spirit gives them utterance. All right, we're up to our first break. Let's take a break right now. We'll come back and we'll continue our curious look, exciting the imagination in the word of echo, echo, echo.
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Put this wisdom of God into practice by listening to Sharper Iron on KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Timothy Apple, and faithful pastors from around the world help sharpen my faith in Christ every episode. I know you'll be blessed by listening and studying God's Word with us. Listen to Sharper Iron weekdays at 8 a.m. on KFUO and on demand at KFUO.org, the KFUO radio app, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Cross Defense. We're looking at the word echo, echos, in the Greek here on Cross Defense today, and how this sound comes from heaven. I want to take us to Romans 10:14 to get us started in the second segment. And if I didn't mention it in the beginning of the show, you can echo your appreciation of Cross Defense using the KFUO app. I don't know if you're familiar with the KFUO app. You should be. Go ahead and open that app up on your phone and hit the open mic button, and you can speak your own words and they'll be echoed on air throughout the KFUO radio airwaves and online. So if you like what you're hearing on Cross Defense today, go ahead, open up your KFUO app and hit the open mic button. Leave a message. We'd love to hear from you. All right, Romans 10:14. I hope I gave you enough time to get over there to look at this with me. What does Paul say here in Romans? How then will they call on him, Jesus, in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Why am I taking us here? Because how does the gospel of Jesus Christ, to use the word theologically, it's not in the text, it's not in the Greek, in Romans 10:14, but to use the word theologically, how does the gospel, how does the good news, again, that's the word news in good news is not the word report, to be clear. It's not this echo word, but taking it theologically, how does the good report, the good information, the good sound, the good news, how does that reach your eardrums? How do you learn about Jesus? Well, it's echoed throughout history. It's preached. Romans 10:14, really good question. Super good question. How are they to call on Jesus? How are they to believe in Jesus? They being you, me, the world, all the different people of the regions of the world. How are they to call on Jesus if they've never heard about Jesus? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I love how Paul does this, because even in his phrasing of the sentences, the questions, there is an echo going on, right? It's like the question is bouncing around the Grand Canyon. And as it's bouncing around, he's drawing us to a point. We're getting the conclusion of the question. What is the conclusion? Well, we get it. The voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. That's Romans 10:18. He's citing Psalm 19:4. And don't just take that little footnote in your Bible. I'm sure you can see it right there too. The text in Romans 10, yeah, Romans 10 is broken up, and you can see the citation. You can see the poetic verse that he's citing there. Go to Romans 19. Or excuse me, Paul. Go to Psalm 19. Let's look at it. See how this connects to Acts 2 and the sound coming out of heaven and how that echoes throughout space, throughout time, throughout geography. It echoes down to you. Psalm 19, starting at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. It's like it echoes. It's like it echoes the gospel. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them, he has sent a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You see the beauty of this? Do you see how this connects to Acts 2 in the giving of the promise of the Spirit, which is then going to move the apostles to utter the truth, which is going to move them to speak God's word, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to report it throughout all the region of the world, to the end of the earth? Psalm 19, 1-6 is directly connected to Acts 2. 1-6 in the giving of the Holy Spirit. Love it. And we see that clearly in the question of Romans 10:14. How, dear Christian, did you learn of the truth of Jesus, the saving word of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins? How are your souls being comforted? They're comforted with the proclamation, the utterance, the prophesying of the gospel. And that's that word, the end of 2:4 for us. It is utterance, apothengomai, utterance, prophecy, preaching, proclamation, speaking the gospel. And it echoes throughout all of history, bouncing from the heavens down onto earth through the men who proclaim it, all the way into your pulpit and into your ears, and then from your lips, yes, your lips, my friend, to the ears of your neighbor, to the ears of your children, to the ears of your siblings, to the ears of your parents, to the ears of your coworkers, your classmates, all the different neighbors the Lord has placed into your life. You are a part of the echoes, the echo of the gospel. You've been baptized. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have received the word of God. You hear it, Romans 10:14 style. Someone was called and sent to you, your pastor. That's why Jesus institutes this office. This is why he gives authority. John 20, he gives authority to the apostles to forgive sins, to withhold forgiveness where there's not repentance. He institutes this economy that we are familiar with in the church so that you could hear the word of God. And so, having heard the word of God and having been drawn together, all together in one place. Notice that parallel too, right? Having been drawn together, you can hear that word and then go out to all the regions of the earth in your neighborhood. Think about that. Oh, look at that beautiful picture we just painted. Excite your imagination on this little nugget. Your church, your pulpit, where you come with all the other devout men from every nation under heaven that live in your area, where you hear the sound and you come together. And at first you arrive at church, a new Christian perhaps. If you're a convert, you don't remember, if you're not a lifelong Lutheran who can't remember his baptism, thanks be to God, who has just always been a Christian. But if you're a convert, you can remember this. You come and at first you're bewildered. You're like, this is strange. What are these people doing? What's going on here? You're a little bit confused, just like here in the book of Acts. And before it's all over, you hear the word of God and your heart is turned. The Holy Spirit quickens you, makes you alive in the gospel, and you're amazed. Acts 2:7, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all those who are speaking Galileans? Well, isn't that pastor just like me, just a regular dude? How does he know this? What's going on here? So your bewilderment turns to amazement there in your Jerusalem. That's what I wanted to get to. This is true for you in your region, your area, your neighborhood. You come to your church. It looks unsuspecting, simple, just a basic building. You come with other regular, ordinary, sinful folk, and you receive the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the word, and you are converted into a believer, made a believer. Your church is Jerusalem to you. Your chancel is the upper room to you. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit. He comes and he sits on you. You're sitting in the pew and he sits on your lap. And then having heard that word, you go from Jerusalem to your Judea, your Samaria. Where is that? Your workplace, the market, the grocery store, the mall, the library, wherever you go, proclaiming God's word to your cousin's house, your friend's house. Engaging with all the different neighbors God has put in your life. And you're carrying this word out to them. You're echoing the gospel, God's word from heaven to them as you're awaiting the return of Christ from his ascension all the way to the end of the earth. And I will say, listen to this. I will say it is effective because I live on the very edge of the contiguous United States. Ferndale is the farthest away from St. Louis you can go on the continent before you take a dip into the ocean in the lower 48. We are literally on the end of the earth. The Spirit has moved the word, echoed the word from heaven into the upper room in Jerusalem all the way out here to Ferndale. And now that word is echoing through these airwaves, through the podcast you're listening to, and it's going to continue on. It continues, it continues, it continues until the Lord returns. Ah, I love it, right? There is another verse that Paul gives us that is definitely related. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, 4. Well, we'll find it as we go. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong. Oh, it's right here in 13:1. A noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Noisy. He's using this echo word, and it's a different form, echeo. And he's saying, if I don't have love, if I don't have Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins on my lips, well then, I am nothing more than a noisy gong. I'm not issuing out a report of any value. It's just this crazy sound that doesn't do anything. And if I have prophetic powers, if I can utter as the Spirit has given me utterance, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. So Paul connects the speaking, the prophesying, the utterance of the word of God, of the love of Christ Jesus for you. He connects that to love. He connects it to Jesus. He connects this sound, this echo, this report to the thing that makes it matter. Heaven's not just sending down good vibrations. No, it's not a noisy gong. This isn't sound therapy coming from Eastern mysticism. No, this is the word of truth that is reasonable, logical, comprehensible, understandable. And it's understandable because of the love of Christ. Because we can point to the cross and we can say, look, that's how much Jesus loves you. Dear listener, hear that for yourself. That's how much Jesus loves you. He went to the cross to die for you, to take your place, because he loves you. Don't let anybody block that sound from your ears. Jesus loves you. And he gave the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he sent the Holy Spirit to the apostles, fulfilling the Father's promise. This, my friends, is all packed into this word echo. And it is exciting. We will note here that it is for all of them, right? There's another corresponding verbiage to be looked at in between 2:2 and 2:4. In 2:2, the Spirit, the wind, fills the entire house where they were sitting. It fills the entire house. And in 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It does fill us. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. He fills you up. All of you. Your entire body, your entire being is now the dwelling place of the Spirit. He fills you up. Just as the wind, that sound of a mighty rushing wind, filled the entire house, sat on the apostles, and now fills them up with the Spirit. And there too is again another correlation between the word wind in 2:2 and Spirit in 2:4, same root word in the Greek, rendered wind, breath, Spirit. The holy wind, the holy breath, the Holy Spirit fills you. And that breath carries with it God's word, Christ's word of forgiveness, the promise from the Father that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that you would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As you are baptized with the water and the word, the sign of the cross made it both upon your forehead and upon your heart, and you receive this same promise from the Father. Oh, I love it. I love it. But we need not jump from Acts 2 to now Paul in Romans 10 to you, wherever you're at, me in Ferndale. We can make a little side stop throughout church history. Hermas, the shepherd, he has this to say. The shepherd of Hermas, is that his name? I don't know. He says, and as I gave glory and thanksgiving to him, to Jesus, there answered me, as it were, the echo of a voice, the sound of a voice, saying, be not of doubtful mind, Hermas. I began to question myself and to say, how can I be of doubtful mind, seeing that I am so firmly founded by the Lord and have seen glorious things. Do not be of doubtful mind, dear Cross Defense listener. You have heard the echo of a voice. I hope you've heard it. I hope you go to church on a regular basis, because that's what your pastor is doing there on church, at church, on church. I got the Holy Spirit on my lap, and I'm thinking about that. So we got that your pastor is not speaking his own words. He's not giving you his own opinion on life. What your pastor preaches from the pulpit isn't the same as what your friends say at coffee. Oftentimes, we give less credence to our pastor than we give the store clerk who gives us her opinion on COVID-19 or something. And all of a sudden, that takes root in our heart. But what the pastor says week in and week out is, well, that's just his opinion. No, it's not. Your pastor's not given to speak his opinion. He has been given to echo a voice. A voice that says, be not of doubtful mind, to use the words of Hermas. I began to question myself and to say, how can I be of doubtful mind, seeing that I am so firmly founded by the Lord? You are firmly founded by the Lord, Christian. We are. This is comfort for the soul, isn't it? We live in some turbulent times. Listen to your pastor. He is a faithful man called to serve you, not with his words, not with his sounds, but with the echo of a voice that comes to you from heaven, from the cross, God's word. That's what your pastor has been given to speak to you, not his opinion, not his own thoughts, nothing other than the voice of heaven. That is the sound that is meant to drive away all doubtful thoughts. You have been saved by the blood of Christ. He is your Lord and Savior. All will be well. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to wrap up our look at the word echo and how it brings us comfort for the soul.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.
Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. Now this sound, my friends, is not the same word as echo. This is phoné, as in a megaphone, a telephone, your cell phone. At this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. You think Luke left anybody out? We got a lot of details here. But look at that. This is reinforcing what I'm preaching to you right now. This word, this sound, it goes out to all of us. And as I taught the Bible study, there is a correlation for you to make, to draw from this. You may not be of any of these groups of people. Probably not. But you do have your own background. You are part of the Christian diaspora. You have been dispersed throughout this world, and you worship the Lord in your part of the world. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You worship in spirit wherever you are. You are part of this wonderful diaspora that we get through the epistles, right? Think of James, the opening, the greeting of James, the diaspora. That's us. You're part of it. We're spread throughout the world. And you, my friends, hear God's word specifically for you. This is why when you hear your pastor preach, you're like, man, how did he know I did that? How did he know that? Why was he talking directly to me? Well, he wasn't. He wasn't. Odds are, maybe he was, but usually when I hear that statement, man, pastor, you were preaching right to me. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit uses his word, God's word, to deliver the message you need to hear in your heart. This is why pastors spend so much time writing their sermons to be based on scripture, to be nothing but scripture for you, proclaiming to you the law, showing you your sin, and proclaiming to you the gospel, showing you your Savior. This is why, because the Spirit then uses that to convict you of your sin, nailing you to the wall. I don't know how that pastor knew I did that. Wow. And then also taking you off the wall. That pastor sure did give me the grace I needed to hear today. This is why when people come through, it's always funny for pastors when people come to the greeting line and they're like, oh, pastor, great sermon. Oh, yeah, really? Why? Well, so-and-so really needed to hear it. Too bad they weren't in church today. Well, yeah, they needed to hear it, but so did you. I'm glad you're thinking of your neighbor, bud, but think about yourself a little bit more there. So that's the point I wanted to make for my Bible study class that I want to make for you too. See how the correlation is between all these different people, all their unique backgrounds, all their different tongues, their different languages, and the word gets to them. They hear it in their own language. Well, you hear it in your own heart. The Lord delivers his word to the whole world, but also individually, uniquely for you. Your Lord knows your predicaments, knows your struggles, knows your sins, knows what hope you need to hear, what message of grace you need to receive. He knows how to tend to us, is what I'm saying, uniquely as part of the whole. You're not lost in the sea of Christians. Our God sees you specifically and delivers his word to you specifically. And we do what all these different people that Luke mentions in Acts 2, we do what they do. 2:12, and all were amazed and perplexed. How did the pastor know that? Perplexed, right? Amazed. Oh, that was powerful. It hit me. Saying to one another, what does this mean? That good Lutheran question. Was ist das? What does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with new wine. Now, here's some more goodness for you. Let's continue in the text. But Peter, standing with the 11, so they all were sitting, right? They were all keeping the Feast of Weeks. They were, Leviticus 23, 21, they were hearing a proclamation in their ceremony, their observance, I should say, of the Feast of Weeks. And now they're all standing. They've all become proclaimers. They've all become speakers of the word. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, and the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. What a great sermon. Brothers, Peter says, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:4, right? What Jesus said. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing, this Acts 2 experience, the sound, the echo, and the phoné of them speaking in the various tongues. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, Messiah, anointed one, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, this multitude that had been gathered together at the phoné of the apostles, coming from the echo from heaven, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Pastors proclaim God's word from the pulpit, their megaphone, if you will, their phoné, echoing the gospel, echos, echoing the gospel for you. They don't need to stand on the street with a bullhorn. They got a pulpit. You have a vocation. You have a place that God has planted you, put you, to be part of the Joel prophecy. That's where you fit into this. That's where we fit into this. We are the sons and daughters who receive the word and we prophesy. What does that mean for you, dear saint? That means you speak the truth. A prophet, unless he's a false prophet, you don't want to be a false prophet. A prophet speaks the truth. And what is the truth? Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. We all do that, not just your pastor. We all do that with those who are in our lives through our vocations. We proclaim God's word to our neighbor, your children, your siblings, your parents, your co-workers, your classmates, everyone in your life. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon you in baptism. And when you turn around and you, to use the word theologically again, echo the gospel, to your neighbors. This is how we see thousands of souls added to the church. Daily, across the world, it's happening. You may not see 3,000 souls added to your local congregation, but the apostles are not literally just working in Jerusalem, but throughout Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth is their given territory. We're at the end of the earth stage of this game, my friends. We're not in the Jerusalem stage. And we are seeing thousands of people added to the church daily throughout the entire region of the world. Even out here in Ferndale. It's great. And what do we see here at the end of Acts 2? And they devoted themselves to the apostles, these people who were added by the phoné, the hearing of their speaking, the pulpit, the preaching, so to speak, the utterance, the prophesying, the proclaiming, how else can I say it? These people who heard the word, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, communion, and the prayers, prayer of the church. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together. Oh, see the connection? We're together. Just like it all started in the beginning of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And then in 2:6, I think it is, 2:6. And at this sound, the multitude came together. This is why we come together at the sound of our pastor's preaching, because he is echoing the sound of heaven, the report from heaven, the echo, the news, the information. They were all together, attending temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And this is the question I asked the congregation at the end of our Bible study. I want to ask it for you too, because you're a part of this. We're all a part of the church. We all are together, even though we may not all come together in the same geographic location. You all couldn't fit into my church, my friends. The space is too small to hold everybody, even listening to this show. But I asked the people, stated it this way. So you've heard the Holy Spirit sound, right? You've heard the word. You've gathered together. You've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit. It's third article of the creed, right? The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens us. He's called you by the word. He's gathered you together to hear the word, to continue to receive the sacraments. So that's happened for you. That's you. I hope that you, if it's not you, you're in the process of it by listening to this right now and by listening to your pastor preach or the pastor at the church you're attending. So it's happening. What's next? What's next in the mode of operation from Acts 2, 1 to 6? Well, even back into Acts 1, right? They all received the word from Jesus. They're waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, as he said. It's fulfilled. They receive the word. They receive the Spirit. They're baptized. Now what? Well, now it's our job to equip the minds of our neighbors, to excite their imaginations with the speaking of the Holy Spirit, to comfort their souls with the gospel, right? That's how this works. Back to Romans 10:14. How are they going to believe in Jesus unless someone teaches them, unless someone preaches to them, unless someone opens their mouth and speaks it to them? You are one of the walls of the Grand Canyon. You are how it echoes, echo, echo, echo. You are. And when we hold our mouth shut, when we keep our mouth shut, we're silencing that echo. Right? So that's where we're at in this. That's where we get to play a part. You are part of that Joel prophecy. I am too. We all are. We have that privilege. The Lord loves to work through means, and we are the means he's chosen right now in this time and place, your time and place, to work through you. That when you speak the word of the gospel, when you open your mouth, an echo from heaven is being proclaimed through your megaphone, through your telephone, through your cell phone, through whatever you want to say. He's using your lips, your mouth, to issue that good report of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has died to save your neighbors from their sins, to save them from death and damnation, to give them life eternal. What a blessed thing it is to participate in this joyous work of echoing that sound that came from heaven to all the nations under heaven. The sound of the gospel. Jesus Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. That's it for today's Cross Defense, my friends. Thank you so much for tuning in and exciting your imagination, equipping your mind on this little word, echos, from the Greek in Acts 2. I hope it was of curious interest to you. And we will be back next week, where we will talk about something else that's interesting and curious.
Cross Defense is a production of KFUO Radio. Find past episodes and support Cross Defense at KFUO.org.